Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast, featuring comic book, movie, and video game news and reviews. And now your hosts, AJ and Martin.
Hey guys, welcome to Panelcast episode 113. I'm here with AJ.
Hello.
And this is Martin, and we have a couple of interviews for you guys tonight, and a little bit to talk about the recent Comic Book Live episode of The Walking Dead that we attended in Hollywood last weekend. So we'll take you guys right into it. And we're here with the Comic Book Live runner, Patrick Ian Moore, and a couple of the stars of the show, David Chung, Chris Gore, and Markia McCarthy.
Hey guys, it's Martin from Panelcast and AJ.
Hi.
And we're out at Comic Book Live at the IO West, and we have some of the members of the cast here.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
And you guys want to introduce yourselves and maybe say who you played tonight in the Walking Dead episode?
My name is Markia McCarthy, and I played Michonne tonight.
My name is Patrick Ian Moore, and I played Daryl Dixon.
My name is David Chung, and I played Glenn Ree.
And we just finished up the episode that you guys did as kind of a series finale. Can I ask where the idea came from to do Walking Dead this time?
I think we're just all, like, super hooked on the comic and the TV series, so we wanted to do a Walking Dead show for a while now. Plus, the head writer for The Walking Dead, Scott Gimple, performs here pretty regularly, and he also does a show at Meltdown Comics with two of our other cast members, Zach and Brandon, called The Friday 40. And we're just all Walking Dead addicts, and it's a super popular show on TV, and we watch it together sometimes.
Yeah.
And we just all really, I mean, Chris Gore is like a huge fanatic and really pushed to make sure that we did this not long after season 3.5 had started.
Right.
And I think we're only one episode into that.
Yeah, right? You guys are just in time for it.
We're kind of right on it.
Yeah, that was cool. And so you guys have done Star Wars. We were here for the Batman holiday special. And it's just kind of a cool idea to have improvised comedy about comic books. And it's kind of a different venue than you see normally. You know, there's comic conventions and stuff like that. And this is the idea behind this was to get people out and have fun with improv shows. Is there other stuff that you guys have in terms of comic books that you're fans of? And I'll just kind of go around to you.
My favorite thing I'm reading right now is Bad Planet, which, strangely enough, is written by Thomas Jane, who
right.
played The Punisher, and he's in Boogie Nights, and he was on the TV show Hung, but Tim Bradstreet does all the art, and it's the best three-dimensional comic book I've ever seen. I mean, it's really, really exciting, and it's, like, on a personal note, it's kind of cool, because I do draw comics, so to have, like, an actor that I actually like be the writer of one of my favorites is pretty cool. Other than that, I read a lot of Undergrounds, which we've been giving out tonight, provided by our awesome sponsors at Hippie Comics, who are also co-producing the Big Wow Comic Festival that we'll all be at later in the anime.
I am a big fan of comic books that are that then become television shows and the whatnot, like Buffy, Angel. But I'm also a big fan of the Sandman comics by Neil Gaiman.
Neil Gaiman, yeah.
Oh my God, I love Neil Gaiman. I love Terry Pratchett, and I love that they wrote a book called The Long Earth. I'm just about to read that. Very, really looking forward to that. But that and Joss Whedon. Yeah, one of my favorite things is whenever he branches out for anything
yeah.
that has... Yeah, oh my goodness. And if Joss Whedon is listening to this, my name is Markia McCarthy, and I would just like to meet you at a cocktail party and shake your hand. That's
you know,
it. That's all
I don't want to forget to mention, too, I'm completely hooked right now on Wasteland, which was...
awesome series.
And it's an awesome
That's
series from the late 80s that was published by DC, and it was written... by Del Close, whose face is on the wall here at IO West. His initials
Come
are DC as well.
Come to IO West to see Del Close's face on the wall.
Yeah, it's just so cool because we do Comic Book Live here, which is a comic book centric show, and you just don't think that, based on a theatrical point of view, that one of the authors of one of your favorite comic books is going to have a gigantic portrait on the wall of a comedy club. But it just happens to, so... That's why we gave away a copy of Wasteland tonight, too, to keep it reconnected to the theater here.
The circle of life, as it was talked about in the show tonight.
True.
I just want to say that Chris Gore has entered the building.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going? I'm practically dead. I did two shows tonight, my podcast show.
Yes, you did, which was hilarious as well.
Oh, you saw it?
Yes,
thank
we
you.
Were here at 8 o'clock.
Oh, thank you very much.
We were screaming bad zombie chicken.
Oh, that was great. You could have gone on stage.
No, that's all right. We were good in the dark.
Oh, that's good. That's good. No, but thank you. Thank you for watching.
And who did you play tonight?
Yes, and who did you play tonight in the Walking Dead episode?
Oh, I played Merle. I played Merle Dixon.
You played a very bloody Merle Dixon.
Yeah. Well, my goal was at the end, I would just be like at the end of Carrie, just covered in blood, but still alive, and then I would turn into one of those crawlies. I love that. The local. I love all this. They never call them zombies. They're walkers and or biters,
mm-hmm.
or who knows what other different colloquial, like, what would they call them in different parts of the world?
In like that first or second episode, he definitely had to put one down that was not walking.
It was crawling.
She
was crawing. No, that's right.
It was based. It was
they did. And what's so funny is if you go to the website, there's actually they show the backstory of how that character got that way.
Yeah.
They directed these sort of webisodes that was a prequel, and it was when the shit went down. It's amazing.
They did like a motion comic on it.
Oh, they did a motion comic?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, well, it's on. I think it's on the second release of the first season Blu-ray, if I recall correctly. And
Mr. Fanatic over here, yeah.
Yes, I actually. So that's where I watched it. I didn't watch it on the web,
And so, just from that discussion alone, you guys all sound like big, huge Walking Dead fans, and we are too, back at Forbidden Panel. Who's your guys' favorite character, and what is your most disappointed, like, death?
I think you should actually ask the question differently.
Oh.
Favorite character, but you can't say Daryl.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody says Daryl!
Okay,
everybody says Daryl.
Who's your favorite character that's based on an actual comic book character from the series?
Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah.
Definitely Glenn Rhee.
Yeah,
for me, personally. Yeah. And before, like, I read the comic.
Is that before you read issue 100?
No. I know what happens. Don't tell me.
I'd only read the first six. But I knew Steven Yeun because he used to perform at this theater. And as soon as somebody was like, oh, Steven Yeun's on some kind of show that's, I think it's based on a comic. And is he playing Glenn on The Walking Dead? Is that going to be a show? Is that real?
You guessed
it. And it was.
Wow.
Yeah, as soon as they were like,
oh my God.
I mean, I don't know.
Pretty good guess.
I wasn't reading anything else that had, like, you know, an Asian American guy. It was the only comic I was reading at the time.
That or Kato from Green Hornet.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah. Well, I don't want to say the badass that is Michonne, because, you know, I played her in the show tonight, although she is a badass.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing, the things that she's gone through. So I'm going to...
You should have got a spoon on you
anyway. That and a chain. I'm going to say Tyrese then, just because of the struggle that he went through, where, NFL, top of the world, end of the world happens then. Oh, everything's gone. Money doesn't matter. No house, no wife, no kids, no nothing. How are you going to cope? And he does. And yes, unfortunately, he does get beheaded by the governor, but, you know, that's... Even to that point, you can respect him as a human being. So I'm gonna have to say Tyrese.
Okay. TV show wise, I think Dale's death upset me the most. Probably.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He didn't even get bit. He got like his chest
ripped open. Favorite characters over here, David?
I'm going to say Glenn Rhee as well, and it's not because he's Asian. Well, no, actually it is because he's Asian. you know, I mean, there's probably three Asian American characters in total on television that aren't complete stereotypes, and it's just, you know, refreshing to see someone like Steven take this on and do such a great job with it, and for the writers to, you know, create a character who's not some sort of a walking stereotype with some, you know, third world accent or something. So I appreciate that, and you know, and I hope more opportunities are out there for Asian American talent.
There is another non-stereotypical Asian character you'll be portraying here on April 20th.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Who is that? He might be one of the three you mentioned on television.
It's a hero of mine, George Takei, who plays the part of Sulu on Star Trek. Of course, absolutely. That will be on, again, April 20th.
420.
For
Star Trek.
420.
Yeah,
that'll be a
fun. Also non-stereotypical role for me. I'll be playing Lieutenant Laura on April 20th.
Right.
420.
But you just always play the hot chick in the show.
Now we know Patrick's strategy for when he casts.
Yeah.
And Chris, what favorite character?
Oh God.
You're such a huge fanatic.
I feel like if asked favorite character, like, you know, TV show or comic, because they're so different, and I love that. But I'd say Glenn in the comic I love, just because he just is smart. And while all the other characters are losing it, he holds it together by just thinking logically. I mean, just even, look, you know, his introduction where he's just sneaking around. He was the guy that could go into the city, take care of shit. Like, I don't know, I just love Glenn in the comic. In the TV show, I actually really like Carl. I think Carl's story arc is going to be really dark. Like, and now he's like, it's weird when you look from season 1 to season 3, like how all the characters have gone through. I mean, Glenn has gone through, like, now he's a badass after having been violated, you know, like, and having his girlfriend violated. Like, he's now like, let's go after them. Let's be proactive. And it's, and Carl, just the journey that he's on, I have no idea where they're taking it. I actually think that the comic and the TV show are going to even go even further apart in terms of where things are going. But, God, I love them both, the comic and the TV show. It's cool that it's like they can exist as separate things and kind of borrow, you know, the TV show obviously borrows a lot from the comic. But then there's so many things. And it's interesting that Robert Kirkman said, you know, I regret Rick having his hand chopped off. Like, that created all these problems in the comic.
Well, that's why the Admiral... That's why he created the character.
Right.
Lose hand and suffer through Rick's control.
Yeah, like it's so I like that he's realized that, you know, you can do different things with the television show.
Yeah, he said,
it's cool that he's part of the writing staff. It's like, that's what I think gives
the
show.
And then, like, the first comic convention in San Diego that he did, talking about the TV show, he said, when writing these characters for the TV show, I realized they had different stories to tell. So we're not going to see the same journeys that they did in the comic.
And it's interesting, too, because...
The personalities kind of stay the same.
Yeah.
But the stories just go differently. They evolve differently.
But Kirkman had a really great quote, I think it was from the DVD, where he was talking about, like, in the comic, when you kill off a character, it's just pen and ink. You know, it's nothing. But so when you kill a character off in a television show, someone loses a job.
Right.
Like, someone actually has to go away, and it feels like a death. Like, every major character that's died in the show, the whole cast is, like, really affected by it, because it's like they're dying. It's like they're leaving. And I think Comic Book Live, that's what's going to happen, too. I think we're going to... Some of the Comic Book Live cast is going to get killed off. Murdered, yeah. That'll be an upcoming... I don't know.
Well, with your guys' schedule, you know, you never know. You guys have a lot of shows coming up.
Yeah, there's like,
so,
talk about the...
Well, we'll let you guys get to the after party, but before we do that, let's have you guys plug all these, because there's like, you guys have cons coming up, there's shows coming up. It's awesome. Should we go to... I mean, Patrick, are you the guy to go to for this?
I think so. We'll be back here March 9th, and we might be at Condor Con either the 8th or 10th in San Diego, but our really big news coming up is that Saturday, March 30th at 7:30 in Anaheim at WonderCon, we're going to be doing a combination Podcrash and Comic Book Live with special guest Adrian Curry, and we'll be doing Star Wars Episode 7 again.
Score?
Which is very exciting.
It's going to be a different incarnation.
Yeah. It's always different.
Yeah.
Then April 13th, we're producing Cosplay Con at Frank & Sons here in the L.A. County area. Saturday, April 13th, with special guest Stan Lee. And then on April 20th, we're doing Star Trek here at I.O. Again, we've got special guest David Chung as Sulu, and that Chris Gore will be playing Khan! And after that,
I can't say who the character is,
right,
but it
right.
might be Khan.
It might be Sherlock.
And then, I actually feel like we need to have like all the different upcoming, because there's also Phoenix Comic Con.
Yeah, Phoenix Comic Con.
In Phoenix, Arizona. And then there's also
the Big Wow Comic
Big
Festival
wow
in San
fun.
Jose.
Yeah.
What date is that?
May 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow,
and then
nice.
And then also Comic Con in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing that. And then also Bridgeport Comedy Festival, we haven't heard back from yet.
Right.
That's in April.
But we will be doing Star Wars Episode 7 again here at the Iowa West in Hollywood on Saturday, May 4th. It's Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you.
Well, wait a second.
And free comic book day.
Are we going to do Star Wars Episode 7 or are we going to do Episode 8?
Oh, I don't know. We might be on like 9 by then.
Or just start doing like 7.5, 7.7. Like, you guys could just make up your own numbers.
If we do 8, we're going to have to film a new crawl. But
we could, that's easy. That's easy to do that. We can do a new crawl.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, we thank you guys for talking with us, and we will be stalking you. We will also be at WonderCon. We have a booth at WonderCon and Big Wow Phoenix Comic Con, so we'll be hanging out
with you. Something at your booth.
Yes, we will be in touch with Patrick. We'll get you guys set up to hang out.
And then 2 weeks after WonderCon, we're doing CosplayCon here.
Right.
A week after that, we're here for Star Trek. So,
so we'll be stalking you guys at all these shows, and we'll be promoting the site.
Yeah.
Or all you guys' events on our sites, and hopefully we'll see you guys at all the events.
Yeah, we are huge fans of Forbidden Panel and Panel Fest this year. And CryptoKid 509, right?
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Have a good party.
Thank you.
And we're back. Yeah, that was our interview with the Comic Book Live people. Yeah, it was kind of a cool show.
Yeah, and they're cool guys. Like, it's a lot of fun to hang out with them and hang out with people who are that, I guess, geeky as well about, you know, Walking Dead, comic books, all the shows they've done. They're always really into it. So, and I think that's what makes them so much fun.
Right.
So, but the show was really cool. You're a big Walking Dead fan. I'm not currently caught up with episodes, which is a little disappointing. But the idea for this show that they did was 10 years later. It was the series finale of The Walking Dead. So Carl was all grown up, and Herschel and Rick were still around, Andrea and the governor, and it was kind of cool. You could tell they actually watched the show, but it was an improvised show, so they didn't do any prep or scripting.
They did a little bit with the video intro that they had.
Right, and their costumes were prepared. Chris was talking about that. They only prepared to do the intro, but it wasn't actually scripted
right
for it. It was just the idea that, okay, it's 10 years later, where are these people at then? And they use their knowledge of the show as fans to actually take on their characters. But I thought that the governor was actually, it was a really good parody of the governor. He just seemed to have to carry the governor's ego, I guess.
Yeah, well, he actually had kind of a look down, too. He kind of had the same jaw structure and whatnot.
Mannerism.
Yeah.
He did a good job with his costume. That was cool. And then, of course, having Daryl and Merle, played by Chris Gore and Patrick Ian Moore, was funny, too. The two of those guys, I mean, talking to them off stage is hilarious. So to have them play the Dixon brothers was really
right
cool. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more shooting with the bow and maybe a little bit more with Merle's hands.
Yeah, yeah. Overall, it was a really good show. For an improv group, they seemed to... I think they kind of cheat in a way in that they don't really prepare, but they've done so many of these improv shows together that they kind of feed off of each other and work it that way. So I think it would have been a little bit more improv had it been more raw and with people they didn't know. But overall, I still dug it, you know, for what it was.
Yeah. It's a fun Saturday night, you know, opening up with Chris Gore's podcast show where he did the zombie stereotype characters and asked all the zombie questions and a lot of the audience participation. That was cool. And the in-between shows, you know, they do the Armando kind of actors who come in, just random actors who come in and try and do that show, and a Doctor Who live episode, which they're always hit and miss for me. entertaining, they're fun, but I'm really there to see Podcrash and Comic Book Live. So I sit through those two, you know, probably should have ordered a couple more drinks at that point in time. But it just the idea of that evening, the way they organize it, iOS drink specials, and you have a whole night of entertainment. parking's really cheap. So, that, you know, it's a cool thing to do for the nerd community.
Right, no, definitely something different, something I'm not used to dealing with, but still very awesome all the same.
Yeah.
So, having done that interview, we're going to go ahead and lead into another interview. This is an interview I did with Lou Guevara, one of Forbidden Panel's very talented artists. He is running a company called Rivets Comics, which is a subdivision of Forbidden Panel, but kind of a throwback to old-timey, old-school comic books and whatnot. So with that, why don't we go ahead and lead into it. Hey, everybody, this is AJ, and I am here this week with Lou Guevara. Hi, Lou.
Hey, AJ.
Lou is the head of his own little subdivision of Forbidden Panel called Rivets Comics. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Rivets?
Well, right now we're working on three books. The first book we're going to be releasing in March for WonderCon is called The Backlots. The second book I'm still working on called The Blackjack Slappers. And the third series is called Rivets, Riveting Stories. And just a bunch of short stories in one big magazine.
What do all the books, what are they about other than Rivets Comics?
Well, the first book that's being released is The Backlots, and it's cartoons with emotional issues. So I think it's pretty funny. So I hope you guys enjoy it coming out in March.
And the other one?
The Backjack Slappers is a bunch of plant monsters, pretty much, and they form a rockabilly band, and you kind of just watch them, I guess, just make it to the music world. And the last one, like I said, it's just a bunch of short stories in a big magazine.
You don't seem too excited about it.
I'm really excited about it. no, actually, it's just a lot to go over. So I really can't sum up all of them in one sitting. So, but what I want to do is I'll start posting more stuff on the blog. I'll give you the backstories and stuff on the blog for Backlot, so you kind of know what's going on with the characters and how they got where they're at. And so I hope the zero issue that you'll see on the website will give you more details of the story and how the characters relate to it and things like that.
Alrighty then. We are currently at Queen Bean Cafe, and about a week ago, you were part of the show here. How did that go for you?
It was pretty cool. It was really, really cold. It was about 43 degrees outside, and I froze, and I tried drawing pictures, but I couldn't do it. It was just so cold. But I met a lot of cool people. There's a lot of great artists out here. One of my friends, Cameron Ruffin, was playing out here, and he plays the guitar, and he sang, and he got a lot of good response from it. But we really had a great time out here, and I can't wait to do it again.
Now, let's do a little background on you, Lou. What exactly is Rivets Comics?
Well, Rivets Comics is really based around helping kids grow their imagination. And so I started teaching kids how to draw at the San Bernardino County Museum, and I have two other drawing classes that are about ready to start. One at the Rock Church World Outreach Center as an after-school program, and the other one is going back to San Bernardino County Museum and helping them out again. And we're looking to do more classes around different areas, Redlands, Yucaipa, possibly Colton, and Fontana. So just working with the kids and some of that, I started doing my own comic books, and it really kind of inspired me to tell stories and things like that. So I think that's where it all kind of started from.
Now, Rivets Comics is a different kind of style than what we're normally used to seeing. What kind of, where do you draw that from? Where does that come from?
I think most of it comes from like 1950s, 1960s Looney Tunes cartoons, Disney cartoons, things like that. My style is very much a cartoon style, and most of my characters are very much cartoon characters. And when you look at it, it is completely different than what we have going on in Forbidden Panel right now. And
are you trying to talk crap about everybody else?
No, I think it's just different, you know. But I mean, I think everybody brings a different piece of art to the table. Like Daniel has a great look to his style, and Justin and Owen all have a great look to their own style. So I think me just kind of adds another piece to the puzzle of what Forbidden Panel is doing.
Very eclectic style.
Yes, very eclectic style.
I don't remember. Were you at 24 Hour with us?
Yes, I did. Oh, I went there late. And I left it early, so I kind of wussed out. Well, at the beginning,
he admitted it. You guys heard it. He wussed out.
But I got there late because I did do a show with San Diego County Museum, so I was late because of that. And then I had to go home early because my wife told me to. So that's what happened with that.
We heard the whip from Yucaipa all the way to Rancho Cucamonga.
It was brutal and bad, and I still feel the pain of it. So, what is your background in art? How did you learn how to draw? Who are your influences, and so on?
My influences are Wally Wood from Mad Magazine. Pretty much all the Mad Magazine artists. I love Jack Davis. I love Wally Wood. I really love the old 60s artists like Jack Kirby, of course. Growing up, I followed a lot of Jim Lee stuff. But those guys, I just kept trying and trying and trying to draw like them. And pretty soon, I got a good style of my own. I never took any art classes. I've never been to college for it. So all this stuff has just been what I've learned watching these guys, you know, looking through all these guys' sketchbooks. I probably have a sketchbook from each one of them. So I just kind of kept copying their style until, like I said, I found my own style.
Until you got sued.
Yeah, oh, yeah, until that. I'm sure the Jack Kirby's feet are going to start getting me in trouble here pretty soon.
So walk us through the process of creating a comic for you, drawing and all that.
It is an absolutely dreadful process because coming up with the character and trying to figure out how the character interacts with other characters, then writing a personality for the character and trying to make that character work with all the other characters is so difficult sometimes. And then and trying to find a good look for him. The character Hobbs that you'll see in Backlots, he's probably had about 4 or 5 different changes in him. And you'll see those too on the website, the different sketches and stuff like that I had of Hobbs. But yeah, it's just trying to find that niche. And once you find the niche, though, I think that's when it starts flowing a lot easier. Trying to tell the story and write the story and get the characters to kind of fall along with the character that you're really trying to tell his story. I know it's all jumbled up, but you know, it's difficult. It's a difficult process, and it's a labor of love, and you really got to love to do something like this because it takes a lot of time out of your life and of your day and things like that to do it. But once you get a finished product, it's a new, fresher breath. It's pretty cool.
Lou is trying to be the new Tony Robbins. He's going to be the inspirational speaker of comic book creators everywhere. And please ignore the giggling girls behind us. Apparently, they think Lou is real cute. I don't see it, but that's just me.
I think it's my new hair. My hair got longer.
So you draw kind of on an unconventional way in that you draw on cardboard. Why is that?
Actually, once you do the printing out of it, and once you get like once you get a photocopy, it really kind of looks cool, and you don't have to do a lot of background sketches to it and things like that. And I personally love like the sketch look. So when you watch like the Jungle Book or things like that, old Disney cartoons, and you still see the little sketches in it, I think it's pretty cool. So a lot of this stuff, it kind of leaves the sketch look to it, and I like it. So that's why I draw my books.
Now you do a lot of your work also in Illustrator. How did you learn how to do that?
Actually, I don't. I don't know how to do Illustrator at all. I know bits and pieces of Illustrator. I really wish I was more proficient at Illustrator, but I'm not. So I'm learning as I go. So I watch a lot of tutorials on YouTube of how to do things. Like I said, I'm still not the greatest at it, but I can manage my way through a lot of stuff.
So you're BS your way through it?
Very much so, yes.
It shows in your work.
Yeah, I know.
So we'll be seeing a lot more of you. You did WonderCon with us last year.
Yes.
Let's do a quick rewind. How, previous to working with Forbidden Panel, didn't you work with a different group?
No, actually, I started doing everything on my own. I got connected with you at one time, and we did the free comic book day with Chris at Four Color Fantasies. And that was really my first show, and the rest of the stuff I did with art classes with working with kids.
See, knowing me is really helpful, is what Lou is trying to say.
Yes, in so many words, yes.
Being with FP, you've been able to do, as you said, different shows and stuff that you really wouldn't have had access to before, right?
Right, yeah. Actually, I got to do the Zombie Beauty Pageant. I got to do the poster for this year's Zombie Beauty Pageant. Plus, we went to WonderCon, so I mean, I got to do a lot more stuff than I thought I was going to do. So it's been cool.
And you went to WonderCon last year, and that was your first time.
Yes.
Have you been at WonderCon before?
No.
Not even as a fan?
No, not even as a fan.
And what did you think?
I liked it a lot. I got to talk to Lou Ferrigno. He didn't talk to me very much. But
did you make him angry? Because you don't want to make him angry.
You know, what's sad is I forgot he's deaf. So I'm talking to him. I was like, man, Lou, I watched you when I was a kid as Incredible Hulk. He used to freak me out, but I loved that show.
And he didn't look at me, he didn't look up, and I was like, oh. And I was like, hey, Mr. Luferino, I really loved your show as the Incredible Hulk. And then I realized, oh, you're an idiot. He's deaf. And so I finally stood in front of him, and he started talking, and he looked at me, he was reading my lips, and he, all he said was thank you. But, it was Luferino.
He can hear. He just was ignoring you.
That's probably.
He's like, oh, his name is Lou, too. He thinks you're like we're family or something.
It's probably because I was flexing.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't flex anymore.
I was like, Lou is me, Lou.
So this year's your second WonderCon. What can we look forward to that?
Well, the book will be released. Have some buttons and some prints. Some more sketches.
And you flexing.
And me flexing, yeah. I'm gonna be shirtless the whole time, so it's pretty awesome. I start working out.
Now you come from a church background,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
How does being with a bunch of deviants like us affect you in any way?
I don't think it affects me because I think everybody has a different walk of life. So I mean, my different walk of life is different from everybody else's walk of life. So I think my goal is just to be who I am. You know, I can't change to be worse, I can't change to be any better, but just be who I am. And I hope I do a good job where I'm accepted, but, you know, I'm sure there'll be people that still aren't going to like me too much. But
in the meantime, it's nice to know that we actually have a division of comic books that children can read.
Yeah, and I tell you the truth, my books are not necessarily based towards children. They look like kids' books, but not based towards children. But
they're not going to offend anybody right away.
Right, right. It means no nudity, no sex, nothing like that. It's just some of the wording's, you know, it's not even harsh, really. I mean, for nowadays standards, but it's not really made for kids. It's made mainly for young adults, and deals with emotional problems. So those are the kind of books I'm writing. So you know, it's not really a kid book. But.
Yes, but it's not easily offendable.
Right, right.
Like when they read TKS and, you know, there's cursing and nudity and stuff all in it.
Right, right.
Obviously don't want to see a picture of an 8-year-old holding my book up.
That's right. So mine has murder in there. But, you know, I mean, but I guess not bad murder. Cartoon murder.
So what is the end goal for you?
You know, my end goal is I want to do this permanently. You know, I don't want to have to work regular jobs. My end goal is to have done enough to where I can keep working and doing this, and so that's my goal.
So I mean, even if it's what if you don't want to go with Marvel or DC or anything like that, you just want to carry the Rivets Comics name on and have that sustain you itself.
Well, actually, I want to try everything. I would love to try a spot at DC. I would love to try a spot at Marvel. I mean, I'm one of those kind of people that want to try everything. I want to at least try it once and say I've done something. And just kind of put it on my little resume of things that I've done. I mean, I was a professional wrestler for 2 years, you know, and looking back, I can look back and say, you know, I was a professional wrestler for 2 years, you know. And so I'm kind of one of those guys. I want to try it, and at least I did try it. And if I fail at it, I fail at it, but, you know, at least I did something.
You know, you can't sit there and say you're a professional wrestler without elaborating more on it. Tell us about your wrestling career, Lou.
I went into it right after high school. I went to a school called the School of Hard Knocks. This was probably about 12 years back. And I was making a pretty decent name for myself. You know, I was small little Mexican guy, so of course I had to wear a wrestling mask and do all the high-flying stuff.
How the luchador works.
Yep. And I was on my way, man. I was talking to people, you know, thinking about promoting me, sending me to Vegas and Mexico and things like that. And then I got hurt. I were doing some moves inside the ring. I landed right on top of my head. And it gave me like a spinal shock. And that was pretty much it. I tried going back to wrestling for a while, but my back was in so much pain. I just couldn't do it anymore. My back is really stiff, so I couldn't do the flips and stuff like that. So I pretty much just had to stop. And I went to the military right after that.
Wrestle anybody we know?
There's Christopher Daniels in TNA Wrestling. You might know him. Luis Spicoli, I didn't wrestle him, but he was with me when we go to the shows. There was American Gladiator named Rico. He was one of the old American Gladiator TV show's champions. If you watch the reruns, you'll see him in there, but his name was Rico. But other than that, nobody
nobody really came out of that camp when I was there. But the trainers I worked with worked with Hulk Hogan, I worked with Ultimate Warrior, I worked with Sting. So I worked with a lot of big name wrestlers back in the 80s and stuff like that.
So that makes two former wrestlers we have in Forbidden Panel. We're slowly turning into where wrestlers go to die.
That's right, because Richard was a wrestler, right?
Yeah, Richard was a wrestler.
And he had some pretty cool 80s tattoos of wrestlers.
We call him Raven because it bugs him. In fact, I'm sure he's listening to it right now. So, what about Richard?
That's right. And now I know he's Raven.
Kind of makes sense, huh?
That's right.
Now Richard's cussing us out.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, that's all I see now is Raven. And actually, as a matter of fact, I saw Raven driving down the street when I was coming over here.
Really?
Yeah. As driving in Redlands, and there he was, running from Target. Raven.
No, that was Richard.
No, that was Raven. Maybe I'll be Richard Stevens or some of that. That'd be awesome. I wear a half shirt.
Mm-hmm. No.
I got the belly.
All right, Lou. Thank you for taking some time and sitting down with us, and we look forward to seeing more work from you eventually, whenever that happens.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm almost done. It's almost done. I promise.
See this recording right now? That's proof. I'm going to use that when your deadline passes. I'm like, no, listen to this, Lou.
I'm telling you, it's almost done. I'm really excited about it. It's almost done. So, yeah. We'll see.
All right, we'll go ahead and toss this back to the show. And yep, that was my interview with Lou. Really awesome guy, really down to earth. Fantastic artist. Very excited for some of the stuff that he's working on. So that pretty much concludes our show. But before we go, we wanted to let you guys know about something really awesome and special that's coming up. Martin?
We have WonderCon less than a month away. It's a month from this week, so don't freak out, AJ. Don't freak out. It's okay.
Already done.
But we have WonderCon coming up March
29th, 7th? The 30th, and the 31st.
That's right. They're not going Thursday, but we'll be down there Thursday. And we will have a booth. Forbidden Panel will have a booth featuring many of our artists and writers and other associated talent like Blackbird Bows and Crooked Smile Art. We're working on getting a couple of guests to come to the booth, like Comic Book Live and Podcrash with Chris Gore. We're talking about a couple others that we're going to be trying to get out there. So you were talking, we were going to have raffles, correct?
Yes. What we're doing is we're going to have so many amazing, talented artists at the booth. So what I'm going to have them do is have all of them draw on a big piece of canvas, different style of zombies and whatnot. And we're going to be raffling that piece of canvas off at the end of WonderCon. $2 per ticket. It's going to be a fantastic piece of art, collaborative effort with all the artists that we have. So we'll have that. We'll also have a costuming contest. You know, whoever comes by with the hottest costume will win a prize. Whoever comes by with the coolest costume will win a prize. And whoever comes back with the best ZKS/zombie costume will also win a prize. So there's a lot of opportunities for you to come by and not only win things, but be a part of Forbidden Panel history as well.
And additionally, we're going to do a Forbidden Panel dinner meetup and include the Inland Empire Comic Book Club as part of the meetup, too. So if you want to hang out and talk comic books with us, we'll be doing it that Friday night, the 29th.
We'll make an announcement on the location here pretty soon, so keep an eye on the website.
Yeah, we'll release the schedule for the booth and the booth number and all that as we get closer. But it's getting exciting. We're getting into con season, and that's a big con for us to be at.
Right. We're going to have, just awesome people there. Myself and Justin White with the ZKS crew will have the Zombie Beauty Pageant Queen from this past year, as well as her court, the ZKS cosplayers. You will have an opportunity to take pictures and whatnot with them. We will have Daniel Whitfield from The Plagued. We will be announcing a new title that we are releasing that will have the creators and artists there as well. Junior Ruiz with El Super Maximo will be there, and Lou Guevara again with Rivets Comics, as well as Vanessa Munoz from Blackbird Bows, and even more. We're adding more on a regular basis, so it's going to be an awesome show. We love WonderCon. It's always fantastic for us.
And we're in it. All those names, it seems like a lot of people, but it's what keeps the booth fresh every day, too. So you're going to want to keep coming back every day. Stop by to check out the progress on the zombie portrait that's going to be raffled off at the end of the weekend, too. I think that'll be a really cool thing to see as it progresses over the course of the weekend.
Oh, absolutely, and I may even dabble a little bit on it too, and I don't draw. So that's something. I will ruin your portrait for you. That's what
we'll make an AJ Easter egg.
Yep, there you go.
In the portrait. So
all that and more. And like I said, WonderCon is just fantastic. It's a smaller convention than San Diego Comic Con, but run by the same people, predominantly comic books and video games only, as opposed to movies and Twilight and all that other stuff. And it's only $40 for 3 days. You cannot argue with that price. For those of you that are in Southern California, it's just in Anaheim across from Disneyland. It's convenient, amazing, fantastic, and a lot of fun. So we hope to see a lot of you there.
And stay tuned to the website for more details on it.
If you come by the booth and just mention you listen to the panel cast, then we'll give you a free ZKS sticker. So should be worthwhile. See, we're bribing you to come by our booth. We have no shame.
Yeah.
So that'll about wrap up the episode. Martin, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Nope. I think that was... It's been a busy week, and we've got a busy month ahead, so we'll be back with more info as the month goes on.
Keep an eye on ForbiddenPanel.com for all the changes and everything and announcements for stuff that's coming up. Martin's been really good about keeping the calendar up to date about where we'll be and what we are doing. Again, if you're in town, even if you don't want to go to WonderCon, come join us for dinner. Dinner is always a fantastic time. We will have a meeting of the comic book club there, as well as a couple other cool things going on. So just keep an eye on the website. So with that, thank you, Martin, for joining me. My name is AJ. This has been episode 113 of the Panelcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.